fm-britain.co.uk, the home nation of Football Manager Tactics.
Get Sacked is back, the Football Manager Tactics podcast from FM Britain. We answer your questions about everything FM related, including playing people out of position. Is this a good idea or not? Different playing styles. How well does Football Manager cope with the diversity of world football? And tackling percentages. What do they mean and how can you improve them? Plus, we discuss real-life football and how it relates to the game, answer more of your questions, and general footballing goodness, all on Get Sacked, the Football Manager Tactics podcast. Well, sadly, Matt had to take the week off this week, but we have got another guest. We've got founder of Game Ward 1, FM Britain webmaster, host of our sister podcast, Get Sacked, FML Extra. It's the king of stand-up comedy. It's Jordan Cooper.
Well, thank you for allowing me on your elitist tactical show.
Elitist tactical show. You really haven't been listening to these, have you?
Well, I don't consider myself to be that much of a tactical expert, even though I take part in FM Britain. But you guys seem to speak a language that I am fairly unfamiliar with. Kind of when I need to score goals, I just say, guys, just hit the ball towards the net. And when we need to concede, I just say, hey, everyone, get back. And somehow I'm able to succeed.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I wanted you on here, because it doesn't have to be incredibly complicated. We keep saying that every week, and then we say complicated stuff anyway. So hopefully this week we can be more in-depth, but also in English. And as you're an American, I know we have to speak very slowly and very concisely, otherwise you won't be able to understand us.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out where I put my middle linebackers. That there's no really setting for that in the Tactics Creator.
Yes, it's a different game. It's a different game. Right, this is the FM Britain Tactics podcast. For those of you who've listened to the previous episodes, you probably know what's going on right now. If you don't, essentially what we do is we answer your questions on Football Manager Tactics. Everything that FM Britain's been submitted on our forums, via our Twitter feed, via our Facebook page and via our email, thinktank@fm-britain.co.uk. All of that stuff comes in to us and we sift through and bring out the questions that you want answered. So that's what we're going to be doing this week. And before we do get started, I want to say congratulations to Better Than Burley, who just won our competition to submit the best tactical tip in one sentence. And his tip was, the key to a successful tactic is a thorough understanding of its flaws.
Which I would definitely agree with. And it comes from the general mantra of usually it's the smartest person that understands what they don't know. And that's what makes them smart.
Yes, that old Chinese proverb of he who knows and knows that he doesn't know that he knows that he didn't know.
But I don't know what I'm talking about, so maybe I...
No, that was the reason we picked him. I mean, with the new interface and everything else, if you understand where your tactic's going wrong, actually the solution is usually quite simple. But if you don't know there's a problem or you don't know what the problem is, it's very difficult to enact the solution, no matter how simple it is. So that's why we chose that one. And for that tip, Better Than Burley wins a free copy of Rome Total War via Steam, and we'll be emailing that to him very, very shortly. Hopefully by the time this goes out, he will have received that. Let's get on with it. Let's get on to the first question. We've had one via Mark Nash via email, who says, what's the effect of playing people out of position? And this seems to be something that quite a few people have talked about making sure people play in their natural positions. Now, Jordan, I know that you mainly play Football Manager Live nowadays rather than Football Manager 10, but in your kind of tactical, experiments, how have you found playing your players? Do you find that you need to play players in their natural positions, or are you a little bit more creative with how you use them?
Well, the two tips that I would give out on that end that I found extremely important in Football Manager Live, which is the same match engine, so it's the same thing. Two things. Number one, it doesn't matter that much if the person has attributes to play competently in that position. I have no problem playing people when they have the red dot, such as like fullbacks. There are plenty of times that I've played wingers as fullbacks if they've had good marking skills, good positioning skills, if they just so happen to have the right attributes to play that position. Now, they're not going to necessarily play it the most effectively. But if you find yourself in a position where you have to bring a sub on in the 70th minute, I wouldn't be too concerned about playing someone completely out of position if you feel like their attributes benefit that. I don't mind playing a fullback that's fast, even if he has no technical skill. Because if he's going to track back, at least he's going to be back in time in order to cover someone.
Well, I think what inspired this question was the West Ham-Manchester United game last weekend, where Manchester United have had pretty much their... If anybody that normally would play in defence appears to have caught some kind of curse or of some kind. They all seem to be out injured. So they've had to play people like Darren Fletcher and even Patrice Evra at centre-back over the past couple of games because they've literally got nobody left that they can play in that position. I'm with you. I'm more than willing to play somebody out of position kind of on a one-off basis or every now and again if I feel they've got the right attributes. But the effect of playing somebody out of position really is that it affects their decision-making skills. So their positioning is usually out. Their pass decisions are usually a bit off because they're not used to being in that particular part of the field. So they're not entirely sure what their role is. So if you're playing somebody and they've got the red dot and they have no idea where they're playing, their decision-making, their creativity, those sorts of things will be hampered. More adaptive players will obviously be less hampered by that. And players who have, say, a 10 for that position, like an orange dot, will play a lot better than people with a red dot. But they won't play particularly as well. So I'm with you. I'm willing to play somebody out of position simply because if you've got a winger and all you really want them to do is run incredibly fast up and down the wing, then it doesn't really matter if they're not a natural in that position because they're not really being asked to do much thinking. Whereas if you were going to play somebody completely out of position as the key player in the centre of your midfield, you're likely to have a few more problems.
Well, my second tip would also be to have a foot fetish. Well, I think it's something that's not looked at enough and I think is almost as vitally important as a player's attributes. And it's one thing that I look for in Football Manager Live for any youth player that I sign, is that I want them to be strong at both feet. Because the stronger they are at both feet, the more likely they're able to play in any part of the field. Especially if it's like a central midfielder, where they're box to box, where they're going to be going around, roaming around. If you have someone that has a strong right foot but a very weak left foot, they're going to have to rely on playing much more right than anyone else. While I'd rather have someone that is strong to fairly strong on both feet, even if it's limited technical ability, I've just found that having them have the option to use both of their feet significantly impacts how well they perform on the field.
So you'd be much more willing to play somebody, in inverted commas, out of position if you felt that they had other skills that could make up for it, such as having 2 feet or having decent technical ability in other areas.
Yes, I require all my players to have 2 feet.
Do you find that you, because obviously in Football Manager, you can, although you can't train people's feet, you can train them into new positions. You find in Football Manager Live that's also an advantage because obviously you cannot train different positions, so it makes them more versatile in a game where you can't make somebody play in a completely new position.
Well, yeah, that's true, especially wingers. I mean, I tend to look for wingers, even if they're more of the crossing types, the wide players. I at least want to have the option to create tactics where it involves wingers that do cut inside, wingers that could play centrally. I think giving yourself the most amount of tactical options makes you be able to be more dynamic against any team. Where if you're used to playing 4-5-1, maybe you play 4-3-3, maybe you play a straight up 4-4-2, and you have the players that could shift around enough that no matter who you're playing against, you could find a fashionable tactic to offset their formation.
Well, it is worth noting that the newest match engines, the ones that have gone out in Football Manager 10 and recently in Football Manager Live, have a bigger effect on people playing out of position. So they act even less intelligently than they did in the past if they're playing completely out of position. for my personal preference, I don't like playing people out of position if it's in a key place where I think that their positioning is a major part of their game, because I'm quite a defensive manager, so I don't really want my holding midfielder or my two centre backs playing completely out of position, because I rely on those three being in the right place at the right time. That's just personal preference. I know other managers are much more fluid with the way they play and are just more happy about their attributes. So all I would suggest is have a go at playing somebody out of position. Keep an eye on them. And if it's obvious that they're just running around like a headless chicken and really not doing what they're supposed to do, don't do it again. But I think it's always worth experimenting with these kind of things, because that's the way that you learn about tactics, I think, in my opinion. If you're willing to just take a punt, you're much more likely to stumble across something that works than if you just stick rigidly to one type of style, regardless of whether it's working or not.
Or you just rip off anything that you and WW fan write, and somehow it apparently works.
Is that your other top tip of the day?
Yes. That's exactly how I learned everything about tactics, basically, from you and Richard Clayton and Matt, and basically putting my little American spin on it of, oh, okay, they mean to just, you know, kind of kick the ball forward. I read through your 60, 70 pages and I'm like, oh, why couldn't they just say, hey, just kick the ball forward and get it on someone's head? You know, do we have to call them a target man?
Well, if you haven't got the complicated jargon, how are you going to make yourself sound intelligent?
Yeah, that's exactly right. But I'm American, so it doesn't matter.
Well, on that bombshell, I think we'll end that discussion before it descends any further. We'll be back after the break.
fm-britain.co.uk, the home nation of Football Manager tactics.
Get your team playing how you want them to play with Tactical Theorems 10. Over 20,000 downloads so far, it's the most popular virtual management guide on the web. Learn how to utilize the new tactics creator to give you the killer edge over the AI from the guys who helped create it. Written by the think tank at FM Britain, Tactical Theorems 10 is available now and currently being translated into 8 different languages. Find this and other tactical guides at fm-britain.co.uk. And I think it is worth mentioning now that the first translations are starting to come through. So a big merci to FM Manifest and a big grazie to FM ITA for their translations of TT10. So those of you that are French or Italian, and aren't offended by my gross racial stereotyping, then you can now get hold of the guide in your mother tongue. Those links are available, will be available on the main site pretty shortly, and we'll be putting the links to those in the page to this podcast, so you'll be able to get your hands on those. Jordan, people might have recognized by now you're American, correct?
Yeah, apparently.
Apparently so. So I assume you also follow football.
Given that
you're on this podcast and you're obviously heavily involved in Football Manager Live. So the big news really over the past few days has been the World Cup draw. And for those of you that have been under a rock for the past week or so, the United States have been drawn in a group with England and Algeria and Slovenia. How is this news going down over there in America? Because I'm assuming they're talking about it all over the place.
Oh yeah, all over the place. I can't not go somewhere for them. Someone talking about how we're going to face Slovenia. Do you get my sarcasm there?
It's coming through. It's coming through.
The World Cup draw wasn't even aired live here.
Not even on any of the pay kind of soccer TV channels or anything
like
that.
Nope. I had to watch it on ESPN 360 online.
So it's fair to say that you're the only person you know of that actually cares about the World Cup draw at all.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, there are a couple of people I do hang out with that follow soccer. But as far as keeping up with, you know, seeing who the World Cup draw is, I mean, the Americans will get into it once the World Cup comes around. But, you know, we have other better sports to care about until then.
I'll try not to rise to the bait on that.
But all I could tell you is that when I do address the World Cup draw, when people said, oh, who are the U.S. going to play in the World Cup? And I always say England. And apparently you guys still have the reputation that you're actually like one of the best teams in the world.
Well, you know, there's about 200 countries that play football, and we're in the top, 5%. So it's all relative. No, I completely agree. I think there's quite a lot of countries that overestimate how good England are at the moment. I mean, given that, do the Americans or yourself personally think that the United States have got a pretty good chance at this World Cup about perhaps making it to the later rounds?
Well, definitely. I mean, when I saw that we were drawn in your group, I mean that was fine with me. But the whole thing that for the third and fourth picks in the group, I was just, as long as you keep Portugal and Ivory Coast out of here, I'm perfectly happy with sharing the knockout rounds with you guys. Now, if we got drawn against a better group, I'm looking to take 3 points from you guys. So we're coming. I think the main thing that we should both be rooting for is the first game, Algeria versus Slovenia, for them to draw.
Yeah, if that's a draw, it just doesn't matter, does it?
Right. Once they draw, I think we'll have no problem whatsoever. If one of those teams win, then hey, if you don't make it, I'm not going to cry.
Well, I like that kind of bullish spirit. It's a kind of spirit, actually, that the Brazilians seem to have taken over, because they've been drawn in what's been called the Grupo del Muerte, the group of death in their group, because we've got Brazil, Portugal, Côte d'Ivoire, or as they call it in France, the Ivory Coast, and North Korea in that group. And Dunga's been talking about the playing style of the Americans and said that he no longer wants the team to play this kind of Fantista football that they used to play in the past, this kind of naive, really high-flowing, high-paced kind of Brazilian samba football. He said that the days of that are gone and they need to be more ruthless and they need to be far more tight. Given that the Brazil team are coming out and saying we need to be ruthless, we need to be professional, we need to be efficient, do you think that tactically this World Cup could be quite dull in the sense that everybody just packs men behind the ball and tries not to lose rather than going out and winning games?
Well, I think when it boils down to it, I mean, the World Cup is still the World Cup. I think players can't just lay back. I don't think that a lot of times the coaches, I mean, it's kind of bad to say, but I don't think the managers have that much say into how the games are really played in the World Cup when everyone's kind of like just hopped up on excitement. I mean, you could practice all you want, but I think when it boils down to it, if you've seen in World Cups, the team that wants to win the most usually wins. And it's not necessarily based on their tactical brilliance, just on their pure passion. Would I be saying something that isn't true?
I think it's a little bit more complicated than that, but I think the fact that smaller countries that have been well disciplined and they've been able to harness that kind of passion and desire have done a lot better in the major tournaments over the past 10 years or so than the supposed kind of powerhouses of football. I mean, you don't get now a team like Argentina or Brazil going into a group against a team of amateurs who have, you know, never seen a grass field before, kind of just running around, oh, I'm playing Brazil. You know, you don't get that anymore. You don't get, you know, teams kind of thrashed 8 or 9-0 in the group stages. And I tend to agree with you. I mean, you can't really go into a game thinking, oh, you know, it's going to be fine. We're going to be fine. There's definitely a lot of a lot more professionalism in it. But I think you're also right. I mean, you've just got to look at the way that some of the bigger teams have underachieved over the past few tournaments, and you kind of think, well, yeah, it doesn't really seem to have been, never really seem to have got going. There doesn't seem to be much hunger there. I mean, that seems to have been England's trouble over the past few seasons anyway.
I mean, if you take a look at the Confederations Cup, and not to bring up a FIFA-ranked tournament that the United States did very well in, but, I mean, the United States beat Spain and went 2-0 up against Brazil, but I think, was it a combination of the U.S. players finally kind of realizing that they can compete on a stage of this size? Or was it also, you know, teams like Brazil, teams like Spain, just, you know, taking the Confederations Cup not as seriously? Or, I mean, they played their starting teams, yet it seemed like both teams, especially in the first half, were like, oh, it's the U.S., we're going to beat them. And they find out that a team that really wants to win can go about and do it.
No, I completely agree, and I think that the United States, all of these people that be going on about England having a really easy group, I think have been a little bit harsh. I think that we've definitely got an easy group to qualify from. That Slovenia and Algeria really shouldn't pose any problems, but the idea that we're just going to steamroller the United States, I think, is a little bit harsh.
Well, you could also say that the U.S. Out of any World Cup may be the hardest this year for you guys because of how many American players play in England or even in Germany, which play a fairly similar style football. So we have a lot of players on our starting team that play regularly with guys like Gerrard and Lampard and Terry and Rooney and all those guys. We have Clint Dempsey. We have Jonathan Spector, Tim Howard, our goalkeepers, and I think in the past with the Americans, we really haven't had enough experience playing in the top level leagues in Europe to understand how to effectively play that style of football. But now we do. So I think it's to say that the U.S. match is going to be, oh, we're going to get 3 points, I think is kind of naive to say.
I completely agree, and what you've been saying about styles of football is obviously very important. You don't get so many big surprises in the styles of football now because we're aware of a lot of different countries and a lot of different styles just with the globalization of the game. And the same is true of people just watching the game on their sofa, which kind of leads in really to what S. Fraser has been asking on the SI Games official forums about the way that Football Manager tries to recreate different styles of football. Now, I know you haven't really played too much Football Manager 10, so I'm not really sure how much football that you managed to get to see on the television over there in the United States. But certainly, from what you've seen of the match engine, how do you think that Football Manager has done in replicating and simulating other styles of football? Do you think that the football it produces is quite generic, or have you found that there are definite teams that can play a kind of a Spanish type of football or an English type of football?
Well, I think this year's version of the game is the biggest step into creating multiple styles of football. Because like in the past, when I played FM07 and 08 and somewhat 09, with the slider system, it was almost impossible, in my opinion, without like significantly reading, God knows how many guides and learning how to move things around and how they work together, to create anything other than fairly generic tactics. But with the tactics creator, you could now go in and create more fluid styles of football, more slower, faster, whatever you want to play. And I found that once the tactics creator was implemented at FM Live, 7 months before FM 10 came out. So I had a much more opportunity to play around with it. But I found that I could play. Just with the simple switches of drop downs, I could go from playing a very defensive 4-5-1 kind of long ball strategy with a reserve team, and then switch up just a couple of things, and then play kind of a 4-2-2-2 Brazilian fluid, everyone's in and out football. Now, not saying that they've gotten everything perfect, but I could distinctly see when I play against other teams in Football Manager Live that one team has a distinctly different style than another. So I do believe that it's been a success for this year for FM10.
Well, I think we've been able to sort of see that it is coded into the game to some extent, in that whenever you see the assistant advice before a game, you see something like Messi is not used to playing at this tempo, or Gerrard isn't used to playing passes of this length, that kind of feedback. And there's definitely, because of the way that the database is research and you get managers with their preferred styles and their preferred formations, and you get players who need time to adapt to the way that the team plays. I think it's the game is moving towards kind of getting in these kind of different tactical styles from different leagues. I mean, for example, if you play in Spain, you tend to come up against a version of the 4-2-3-1 a lot more than you do in England, where you tend to see a lot more 4-3-3 and 4-4-2 kind of formations. which obviously, I mean, that in itself is just kind of like a quirk of the database in the sense that the managers in Spain tend to prefer that kind of style. But it is slowly kind of coming into the game that people from different backgrounds tend to prefer different styles, and I think it's definitely for the better. But one of the great things about having the tactics creator in there as well is that not only can you recreate a style of a particular kind of country or even a particular manager, but there's also the room for kind of personal embellishment. You can use your own kind of intuition and your own ideas to be able to kind of evolve it further and bring in a little bit more character to it, rather than the kind of generic, right, this team will play 4-4-2 no matter where I am in the world, and then when I'm 1-0 up with 70 minutes to go, they'll move to 4-2-4. That kind of side of the game seems to have got a lot better, I feel.
Well, it seems like a lot of people are looking for quick fix solutions, kind of like I want to have a button that just says I want to play like Spain, and thinking that actually will be successful. Now, I know that we're coming out with appendix updates to TT10, which will highlight some contemporary tactics. But I think people are missing the point that without the proper players, you can't play how you want. It sounds kind of weird that you're playing a football management game where you get to do, you know, pretty much whatever the hell you want. But a lot of the tactics, that especially the ones that are fluid, rely very heavily on one or two key players, even if it doesn't seem like they do. So if you have one broken link in a tactic, the whole thing looks completely messed up. So I've seen a lot of people trying to implement, you know, an Arsene Wenger, you know, fast tempo, quick passing tactic, but, you know, they're playing with a central midfielder that isn't the linchpin of their tactic. So what ends up happening is that players are out of position all the time, and you're wondering, you know, well, how come this tactic doesn't work? Everyone says that it should. Well, you have to make sure that your players are, if you were playing as Arsenal with the current, you know, database, maybe it would work. But you can't just take a tactic, like you talked about with the death of downloaded tactics. You can't just take a tactic that was successful for one person and throw it in, and once you see it's completely messed up, it's not because the whole tactic is messed up. It could just mean something as simple as one player being the broken link in the entire system.
I agree with that. I mean, even if you look at Arsenal, that they supposedly, I mean, people think that they play this kind of overly fluid style and everybody's interchanging in and out of each other, and it's beautiful because they can just pass the ball around and it's fantastic and they can just pick whoever they want. But even that team has somebody like Alexander Song, who sticks in the centre of the park and makes sure that he's covering everything. Simple things like making sure that you have at least got four or five players at least level with the ball, so that if the team get on the break, that they can kind of fall back. And this kind of naive, well, if they score three, we'll score five kind of mentality doesn't necessarily work. And you do need to be able to have some kind of shape and something holding the team together. You need somebody. Some certain tactics may require like a player in the centre of the park to set up all the attacks by spraying balls around, or they might rely on somebody in the centre of the park to mop up balls that get cleared by the opposition's defence, or to get around,
or even players in the centre of the park to open up space for flare based players.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so you do need that kind of balance in the team, and I think that I think that's something the tactics creator can provide for people, but it does require kind of like a base kind of idea of a game plan as to what you're going to do. You can't just go, I want to play like Barcelona, and not know, well, hold on, but what do you actually mean by that? Do you mean I want to play like Barcelona, which means I want to win the Champions League? Or do you mean I want to play like Barcelona in that I want to play beautiful football, even if it means I'm going to get thumped 5-0 every week? You know, those kind of questions. The final point of S. Fraser's kind of question really was asking about specific kind of player roles. And obviously the new tactics creator allows you to attach roles to players, such as a wing forward or a holding midfielder and things like that. And he was just asking whether we felt that the game kind of adequately did that. And I mean, in my opinion, I think you can kind of do things like false nines and defensive wingers and holding midfielders and things like that. But I think what the tactics director also needs to be able to do, and it can to a certain extent, is to still allow some innovation. I mean, you have things like this idea of the false nine has been called different things like Trequartista and withdrawn forward. It's been called a lot of things over the years. It's just kind of the same kind of stuff, just in a different package. So I think one of the things that the game has to be able to do is to is kind of adapt along with the language and then have different styles. I mean, have you felt that you've been able to kind of recreate kind of player styles that you've wanted to put into your tactics?
Well, I've always gone under the mantra of keep it simple, stupid. Like, my attitude is that I don't use that many player roles. Some of the more, like, advanced or more descriptive player roles, I rarely use, because I could recreate all of those roles by way of how the shape of the actual tactic is. Like, just because you're playing a 4-4-2, and this is something that I, especially in the old days of FM Live, I used to do all the time, where I'd come out with a 4-4-2, but even though it looks like that on the screen, based on the roles and how everything is set up, you could make it look like whatever you want. So even though two strikers look next to each other, it could come across as a 4-4-1-1. As long as you give one of the supporting striker a lower mentality and make them drop back, or make them play as a support player, or as a target man, or something like that. So I think that people that are trying to use too many player roles, maybe actually doing a disservice to themselves, where it's better to at least start out with, before you understand, you know, all these player roles, is to just keep it simple. Here's central midfielder, defensive midfielder. You don't have to have a box-to-box, a ball-winning midfielder. Just, like, learn how these interact with each other, just as bare-bone default kind of central midfielder or, you know, advanced forward. And then fool around with the attacking, support, defensive. Fool around with the tempo. Fool around with everything and see how you can manipulate it that way before getting into player roles that you may not understand how they're set up internally, how it affects your entire team. Like, I still have no idea what a complete forward actually does. So I just don't use it. Why use something I don't understand when I could just use a advanced forward and a deep lying forward and get the same thing out of them?
Or at least get the thing that you want out of them.
Right.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I think the shape of the team is actually, in a lot of cases, a lot more important than the specific instructions that are given to them. I think the specific instructions come after that, but that could be an entire book in itself, I think, and I'm sure that discussions of shape are going to come up again and again and again through the podcast and through the articles. But for now, we'll take another quick break, and we'll be back with another question.
fm-britain.co.uk, the home nation of Football Manager tactics.
For the latest ebooks on the internet, head along to fm-britain.co.uk, the home nation of Football Manager tactics. The Tactical Think Tank is on hand to provide articles for advice directly to you. Find our latest publications and podcasts, subscribe to our RSS feed, follow us on Twitter at fmbritain, subscribe by iTunes, or search for us on Facebook. We're here to help you. So if you've got any questions for the podcast, send them to us via those channels. And we also try and go out into the community to look for questions to fill up the show. And we'll answer questions on just about anything you like, but obviously with the Football Manager Tactics podcast, so probably best to keep them stuck to Football Manager Tactics. And all the links to all of the pages and the sites that we've mentioned here today, including the question askers, will be available up and available through fm-britain.co.uk. Right, we've got a question here from ScommyBG, I think that's how it's pronounced. My apologies if I've got that completely wrong. But he's asking questions about low tackling percentages. He seems to find that in the new game, the percentage of his tackles is very, very low, and he's wondering what he can do to improve that. Jordan, is this a problem that you've had and that you've needed to solve at all?
Well, it depends. I typically have... When I play Football Manager Live, I typically have very low tackling percentages, only because my players are kind of... I purposely make, like, hopped up on cocaine. So that there's a lot of missed tackles. But, I mean, the key to me is that as long as they're positioned well, I don't mind a low tackle percentage. It really depends on why you're getting that, depending on the style of play. If you're going in with hard tackling and you're playing a very physical game and you have a low tackle percentage, then I think that's a concern. But if you're playing more of a defensive, just keeping yourself in front of the ball, you're a low tackle percentage may not mean as much for the Grant. You want it to be higher, but as long as you keep yourself in front of offensive players, I don't think the tackling percentage really matters that much. Now, my team on FM Live tends to be, you know, I'll try to score 5 goals, and I don't care if you score 4. I mean, I kind of play completely, you know, opposite your style, Millie. But I've seen my tackle percentages being very low, but it doesn't really. If from game to game, you can't. It never affects the scoreline. I mean, sometimes it'll be higher, sometimes it'll be less, but I never really see that it matters in the grand scheme of things.
I was pretty much going to say that word for word. You've pretty much taken all of my notes away from me now. The big thing that I want to concentrate on, and we said this at the end of the last section, was shape. Providing you've got yourself a shape, which means that you've always got players that are behind the ball, that are in the right position to at least be able to jockey the opposition's players, then a low tackling percentage isn't necessarily a problem. It is as long as you have the players in the right positions. I mean, if you've got players going through massive holes between your centre backs, then you've got a problem. If you've got players that are just leaving your fullback for dead and then running into huge amounts of space near the corner flag, then you've got a problem. And you need to kind of control the shape again. And those seem to be the two reasons that I found that for why you might have a low tackling percentage is that everybody's in the right place, but they're just not making the tackles, which might not necessarily be a problem. But if you want to get a higher tackling percentage and see what happens, then you obviously need a bit more closing down and harder tackling. You might want to have a bit of a check on your marking as well. But if everybody's covering, then it shouldn't be a problem. But the other reason why you might be getting low tackling percentages is simply because you've got lots and lots of gaps and your centre-back is having to wheeze after the striker and then launch himself in because he's got no other choice. Otherwise, the guy's going to shoot and score. And that could be the other really major problem. So making sure that your team is compact and in the right areas is perhaps far more important than concentrating solely on the tackling percentage number. I often find that the tackling percentage number is the symptom, not the problem itself.
So we pretty much had the same answer, just that you had it in like fancy speak.
This is how we roll, Jordan. You explain it in kind of in a way that kind of makes sense to everybody, and then I try and sound aloof. And I think that works, doesn't it?
Right. So we should. I'm like the Neanderthal, and you're like the anthropologist that is trying to explain what the monkey is saying.
Precisely. So yes, shape seems to be the big thing to talk about with the tackling percentages. This week's fan site is Football Manager Fanboys, which you can find at footballmanagerfanboys.net. It's run by Julius or The Game or what are the...
Wonder Kid. Wonder Kid now.
Oh, okay, Wonder Kid now. Lots of other pseudonyms there. It's quite a combative little soul, but usually quite entertaining. And he's got lots of articles and interviews and tips up at footballmanagerfanboys.net. And one of the reasons why I've brought this up as the scene site this week is because one of the articles that he wrote was called The Lie You Believe About Home and Away Tactics, in which he emphasized the fact that when you're playing away from home, you're likely to be playing on a different pitch size and therefore... you may need to adjust the shape and the way that your tactic works accordingly. Jordan, when you play away from home, do you find that you have vast differences in form between your home record and your away record, or do you find that you can usually get the results that you would expect when you're away from home?
Well, on Football Manager Live, it's a little bit different. Home and away kind of works. I mean, because you're constantly playing against teams that are of very wild, you know, variety of strengths, so it's kind of hard to limit it based on there, because if you're playing a two-star team away, it's almost like you're playing at home, so it's not that big of a deal on Football Manager Live, you know, when you're playing against all those type of teams. But when I played regular Football Manager or FMXX, as we like to call it in the FML forums. The only thing that I notice, I tend to play a slightly more defensive tactic away, but not so much that it's much different from my home tactic. The only thing that I notice is from a mental perspective. I've always noticed that away from home, the team is much more ample to have very wide shifts in mental state, where, you know, some people just will not perform well away for some apparent reason. And whether or not it's based on their personality profile, I'm not sure. But I think that's the only difference that I've seen when I've set up tactics. If anything, I take players that just don't seem to perform away out and put players that seem to not care in. And I really don't see that much difference in my I'm not saying that it's a lie that you should have a home and away tactic, but I think that it's not necessarily to have that vastly different home and away tactics, especially if you're playing as a team that is expected to be like an even money favorite in almost any match.
I would agree with that. I mean, I don't make different tactics for home and away. I usually play a little bit more cautiously away from home because I know that the home team is going to have a slight confidence advantage, and also the home team is more likely to attack you because they're playing at home. And it's kind of it is almost a self-fulfilling prophecy that the team at home thinks that they've got a better chance, therefore they attack more, and therefore it is, you do need to kind of back off a little bit more. But for those of you that saw the video that I did on the FM Britain main site about defending in the midfield, the common thread, which I only noticed actually after I put the video together, which was all of the clips from those games that I showed, the human was playing away from home. And one of the big things that I've noticed is that shape away from home is often wrong, because people play the shape that they wanted to play at home. And then when they play away and they're playing against a team that's attacking a little bit more, it's not quite right. And some of that, as Julius says, is down to the pitch size. But I think a lot more of it is just down to the way the two teams set themselves up. So what I tend to find is that if you concentrate on the shape of your side versus the shape of the other one, and that's not down to formation or anything like that. It's about simple things like looking at the way that the wingers and the midfield are being marked. Because in the video I showed, one of the major problems was that the opposition were given far too much time in the midfield. The wingers were given a lot of space, and then they'd be closed down, and then it would leave a lot of space in the middle. What I've found is that if you really want to kind of keep things going away from home, you need to make sure that your shape is tight enough and solid enough whilst putting enough pressure on the opposition's midfield, which you can do at home very easily most of the time because you're a little bit more attacking, because you're the home team, the other side's backing off a little bit. It is a lot easier to do. But when you move away from home and you try to tighten up a little bit, but you don't do it in necessarily the right way, the opposition gets far too much space, usually down the wings, but also in the centre of the field. And that can cause major issues. So for me, the thing that I tend to concentrate on is my shape, and making sure that I've got good marking on the opposition's midfield.
That's pretty much what I do. Basically, the main difference between my home and away tactic sometimes is just two clicks more narrow and turning my fullbacks from attacking to support, and I'm done.
I often find it is just something simple like that, making sure that the fullbacks aren't bombing down the wing and leaving massive holes, or the opposite problem, that the fullbacks aren't sitting back so much that they're not putting any pressure on the opposition wingers at all. I see a lot of files that people send me, and they can't understand why their defence isn't necessarily working. And you kind of look through it, and I notice this in my own games as well. So it's not one of those things that's you should easily be able to see it. It is quite it is one of those things you need to look out for. But you often find that your fullbacks are just sat there doing nothing because the opposition wingers are playing another 10 yards down the pitch, and they're under no pressure whatsoever because they're in that gap between the wingers and the fullbacks. So they're just sitting there in acres of space, and they've got all the time in the world to pick out a pass to somebody. So you need to make sure that you're putting pressure on, but also not putting so much pressure on that you're pulling everybody out of position and leaving massive holes all over the place. So, but if you go along to footballmanagerfanboys.net and have a look for that article, The Lie You Believe, I think there's some very, very useful information in there. So check that out. If you want your blog or site to be featured on the next episode of Get Sacked, then just let us know via thinktank@fm-britain.com. fbmag.co.uk, or write something interesting like Julius did, and we'll probably find it, and we'll get you on the show. I think that's everything that we wanted to cover, unless you've got any other words of sage advice, Jordan.
You caught me off guard.
Shall we take that as a no?
Yeah, I guess not.
If you want more sage advice than that, check out the latest article that we've put up with the results of the Total War competition that we had up on the main site, the Better Than Burley one. There's lots and lots of one-line tactical tips there for new users, and even some good ones for experienced users as well. Go along and check that out and see if there's anything in there which can help you with your game. Thank you very much for being on the show, Jordan.
You're welcome. Hopefully we'll get another contest up for Christmas.
Yes, that should be good, because there'll be plenty of people that we off and be able to think about good entries for that. So that's everything for this week. If you need to submit a question, you've got something burning in your head that you really, really need to get out there, then you can find us via Facebook, you can find us via Twitter, you can get us on our forums, forums.fm-britain.co.uk, or you can email us, thinktank@fm-britain.co.uk. So until next time, that's it from this edition of the podcast, and we'll see you again.